Welcome to the one-year anniversary of Minute Impossible, the podcast where we investigate the movies Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It's been a while since we've posted anything about the show. So yeah, I thought we'd come on and say hello to everybody. Exactly. We are working on the second movie, and that's going to be coming out soon. But I looked at the calendar, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's been a year since we dropped our first episode. It was on January 22nd.
That's crazy.
I thought it'd be fun if we did something that we forgot. It's my fault, Chris. Okay. It's not your fault, Chris.
Okay.
I'm going to say that
front. Not my fault.
I'm not breaking up with you.
Not my fault. It's not me. It's you.
Originally, we talked about the book, this great horny book that had adult situations thrown into the Mission Impossible series, written by Michael Peter Barsaccini, based on the story by David Kemp and Steve Azalean. So and Robert Towne, of course.
Of course.
There were like four people writing this thing.
Yeah.
We never actually talked about the end of the book.
No, we never did.
I was like, why didn't we talk about the end of the book? And I think we just got so excited. I think we got so excited and wrapped up in finishing the movie that we forgot that the book had gotten us so far with so many ridiculous plot points that weren't in the original book or expanded in some way that was so gross. And we're like, oh, why are you doing this book? I went back through and found some choice packages.
Packages.
You can tell I've been reading this book.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been reading the book a little much, huh?
I read the last two chapters to get back up to speed, and there are some things in this that were not in the movie and I thought we should talk about before our new season starts. That way we are completely and utterly done with the first movie.
Cool.
Okay. All right. I'm on page 207. This book is 217 pages long, so we are 10 pages away from the end. The name of this portion is Paris. This is after Max has been caught. In the last scene of the last chapter, it's Max being caught by Kittredge and Kittredge saying, maybe we'll just keep the courts out of this one. So we are in the timeline right before in the movie. What happens next is we see Ethan and Luther at the bar in England having a pint and watching the news as it unfolds.
Gotcha.
This is what happened in between. I did not know this. Three days after this happened, Ethan went to Paris for Claire's funeral.
What?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
It was against IMF policy, and he went there anyway. He didn't care.
Interesting.
And I'm glad they took it out of the movie. Can you imagine the movie ending with him going to Paris to her funeral first?
Yeah. Why would he end the movie? I mean, the way the movie is, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And also, at the end, it says something. Let me read this actual package. Certain questions were going to be unanswered. Jim was dead, and his secrets went with him. Only by staying in the IMF himself would Ethan again gain deeper understanding of Jim Phelps. But for Ethan, staying in the IMF was out of the question. So in the book, he was done with the IMF.
Yeah, interesting.
Do we get that feeling in the end of the movie that he's out?
Yeah, completely? When he's talking to Luther, Luther's like, you sure you don't want to come back with me? He's like, nah, I think I'm good. And I think that was the gist of it. Not really saying so much as, maybe he wasn't going back, but like right now he didn't want to go back. That's what I got from it.
I felt like it was more of a, I literally just don't want to go back right now. You've been reavowed, so you have a lot of paperwork to do. I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to have some me time.
Yeah. But I could see how it could be played as he wasn't going back at all. And that's why, he looks at the stewardess at the end who's offering him the Caribbean thing.
Well, I thought he looked at the stewardess at the end because he didn't know he was going to be on a case. Like he wasn't going to get a mission.
I think it's a combination of that. And I think, that he's now Jim Phelps as opposed to just another agent. I guess it was the surprise of being promoted without realizing he was going to be promoted.
Well, in this, he violates IMF policy, even though he is not staying in the IMF. He goes to Claire's funeral, and they even explains she was survived by both parents, an older sister, and an older brother.
Interesting.
Oh, my God. This is awful.
It is.
And they say that she had recognition for heroism in a botched robbery. So they covered it up and made her seem to be a hero to her family.
Interesting.
I wonder if they did that with Jim's great grandchildren. I don't know. Did Jim Phelps? Do we think Jim Phelps has progeny across the earth
from his? That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Claire wasn't the first woman he'd ever been. Well, maybe she was.
Yeah.
From the TV show, I'm sure he wooed some ladies. He's Jim Phelps.
Yeah.
But thinking about him now doing it, which is just. And then it goes into a whole thing about him thinking about Claire and what would have happened if she had lived. And I'll read again from the passage. He wondered what she might have done next had she lived. Maybe she would have killed Jim and kept the money for herself. Whoa, where is this coming from?
That's a good question.
That's not the character you gave me in the movie.
Not at all.
Maybe months later, she would have contacted Ethan and tried to repair the damage. All the maybes in the world weren't going to change what happened.
Ugh.
Ugh. As we've said many times.
Yeah. Smart move in taking that out of it.
Yep. What did it mean? Ethan wondered, as Claire's body was lowered into the wet earth.
Oh Jesus.
I love it. Even at the end, it's got more adjectives than it needs. That he could love someone who betrayed everything and anything he valued. Of course, in truth, he knew exactly what it meant. It meant that matters of the heart superseded morality.
That's awful.
Wow, what a great cop-out.
Yeah.
When the heart is involved, things happen because they have to happen, regardless of consequences.
Oh, my God.
Is that the line from, what's that line, being in love?
Being in love
means never having to say I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. Love story.
I hate that movie.
Yeah, me too.
I hate that line. I hate that movie. Anyway, going on. Another movie. Wrong show.
Yeah.
That was the oldest truth of all in a world filled with lies. So a very dour end to a chapter. By the way, this chapter is 3 pages long. So let's call it what it is. It's not a chapter.
Couple pages.
It's a treatise. It's a overview. It's an outline.
It's not even an epilogue.
No, it's not. And then the next chapter, is called Your Mission, Mr. Hunt. This chapter, is more like the end of the movie where he goes to Luther in London and they're sitting in a pub. And they're drinking, and there are a few little things they're talking about, like Uncle Donald being unhappy, you know, and the government screwed up, and you know he and the president himself hasn't called to apologize. These kind of things that we didn't get in the movie, like kind of making Uncle Donald into a character, which who cares? Yeah, no one cares about Uncle Donald just in this film.
Yeah,
and then at the end, Luther is reflective, and Ethan's reflective. They're not talking, and then he says, "Ethan, why don't you come back with me?" He wagged his head slowly. "I resigned, Luther." "Yeah, they told me. You don't like Kittredge." "No, I don't." "He can be neutralized. People up above are going to find out about the knock list sooner or later. And when they do, Kittredge ain't going to be giving too many orders." Okay. We have talked about in the Mission Impossible 2 movie. We've actually recorded. We're recording this as we've already done some other episodes. We think Kittredge is alive and doing really well in politics. And in this book, Luther is inferring that he's going to get whacked.
Oh, wow.
That the knock list was a huge... I mean, it was stolen from Langley by one of his team members.
Yeah.
So even though he... You know, it's one of those things like... it's like the A-Team movie... Just because they did something good, they still escaped jail. So by escaping jail, that they need to go back to jail for escaping jail.
Yeah.
Even though what they did was good at the end. You can't just be like, "Oh, we stole that from the CIA, but no big deal. It was all a double blind cover up thing, reverso thing we were trying to do to get Jim Phelps." So that's not going to work. I didn't know they were going to actually try and kill Kittredge.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
And Luther seems... Luther seems thirsty for it. he's like, "Oh, they're gonna kill him."
I'm guessing that Kittredge is the one who disavowed him.
So I guarantee you. Remember, that's from the comic book. That's what happened.
That's
in
the
comic book. Kittredge disavowed him.
Yeah, that's right.
So it seems like Luther has no love for Kittredge. So that's why we get a new boss, I guess, in two, because they've murdered Kittredge.
Gotcha.
It's some sort of frame up or like, "Oh, Kittredge isn't coming in today. His car was accidentally hit by 3 buses at the same time.
He died of a heart attack in his sleep."
His body was burned beyond recognition. Oh, well. And then Ethan says something else interesting, because Luther's like, well, what are you going to do? And he says, I'm going to go home. My family has a farm. I know something about that. I think I can help them make it work. Can you imagine Farmer Ethan?
No, not at all.
How awesome. No, of course not.
Of course, that would have been awesome to start Mission Impossible 2 with Farmer Ethan, you know, like Rambo 3, where he's out helping the Tibetan monks. Got Ethan out there farming the land and, you know, taking over for Uncle Donald and his mom.
And a pig walks up to him with a tape recorder strapped to its back.
Exactly. Or there's a scarecrow.
It's like, hello, man. Oh, scarecrow's like hands him something.
Yeah. It's like Get Smart. Standing there.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Anthony Hopkins in a scarecrow outfit.
And then at the end, they wrap up kind of their feelings about Jim Phelps. Luther says, you really liked Jim Phelps, didn't you? I did. He was a tough one to figure. He was a good guy for a long, long time. Just not long enough.
That's awful.
Oh, so if you're a good guy for most of your life, but you're a bad guy at the end, you're not a good guy for long enough.
Apparently.
Apparently. And that's pretty much where that part ends, with them talking about Jim. And then it goes on to go to the scene on the plane. He's on the plane and they go through, it's way too much detail. It's like a page and a half of detail about him on that plane. It's just him sitting in a chair waiting on, and the flight attendant's going to walk by and hand him.
Talking about what sort of drink he has and what he's thinking about. Yeah, dreaming about Claire again.
They probably think about how wet his drink is. Ethan moved his wet drink to his lips. Something like that.
Thinking about Claire.
I'm not looking at that part. Ugh.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read you verbatim the rest of it, and you can tell me what your thoughts on this. Would you consider the cinema of the Caribbean? She inquired. He stared at her. Could this be? Was it possible that Kittredge knew him better than he did himself? She leaned closer. Aruba, perhaps? He froze. And she took his look as an answer in the affirmative. They had found him. They wanted him back. The attendant went to get him his cassette, a special cassette that had been locked away in a cabinet. Well, that's stupid.
That's stupid.
Just have it on you. It's fine. Ethan settled back in his seat, knowing that whether he wanted to or not, he was going to watch a movie. He looked for something in the pockets of his jacket, but did not find what he was looking for. He then lifted forward the pouch on the back of the seat in front of him, and there, in a red foil wrapper, was a pack of cigarettes. Somehow, he knew they would be there. What? Are the cigarettes so he can light it on fire when it explodes?
Yeah, like Jim did.
Ugh. And that's the end of the book. That's how the book ends.
Ugh. That's just... I mean, it's basically the same ending, but with more stupid narration. So it's...
Yeah. I'm going to put up also a... when we post this on Tuesday, I'll also put up a picture of the last page, which is Mission Impossible, coming soon for the Nintendo 64 and IBM PC CD-ROM. Expect the impossible. They got the game in the back. So I'll take a picture of that and we'll put that up on the Impossible
94.
It is hilarious. I'm glad we were able to wrap this part up. I think this is a good wrap up of the first season, which was so much fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun.
I had such a great time. We still have tons of downloads. Thank you all for listening to our podcast.
Yes.
Chris and I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And it's humbling that you guys listen to us goof around on this show. We love these movies. I'm glad you love these movies, and I'm glad you're here to listen to us talk about not only the first one, but now the second one coming up soon. We'll have a trailer that'll be dropping next week. So the trailer for Mission Impossible 2 will be dropping next week. And after that, we will only have a couple more weeks before season 2 of Minute Impossible starts up. We'll have new theme songs. We're going to have new guests. We're going to have a lot of new stuff. It's going to be really fun. Chris and I are
doves
super excited.
And guns and bike foo, you know. It's all sorts of fun stuff.
Doves and guns and masks.
Exactly. Lots and lots of masks.
And horses. Don't forget the horses.
Oh, that's right. The horses.
Yep. And germs.
It looks like we're going to be doing this for a lot longer, it seems, because they just announced those two new Mission Impossible movies this last couple weeks.
Yep. As of our recording, they have added two movies that McHugh is going to do. Now, we don't know if that's going to actually come to fruition and if McHugh will direct both of them, because they're so far out. Sometimes that kind of thing changes, but I'm excited.
Yeah, no. At this point, it looks like he's writing and directing them. And the question is, are they going to be a cliffhanger or not? Or are they going to be two separate films? That's what I want to know.
I hope there's two separate films.
Yeah.
But if you bring back more people, that maybe some people you didn't bring back in the first one, they saw how popular it was to bring back characters. So hopefully they play on that again.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you know, even if I'm all for the last movie ending with Ethan becoming the IMF director, you know, I think that would be cool.
Oh yeah,
because then you can
it'd be super cool to have him.
Yeah, then you get him as a cameo if you do more movies. You know,
it all works.
It all works.
I'm fine. I'm actually okay with that. I'm just wondering who they would get to replace him. Luckily, I don't have to be the person that makes that decision.
No, exactly. I don't. You know, yeah.
All right. Well, great. This has been a great one. Thank you, Chris, for being with me for our one-year anniversary, buddy.
Of course.
This has been so much fun. I'm excited for our next season.
Yes, so am I. So am I.
So until you hear from us again next week, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
This minute will self-destruct.